Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us right now is Odyssey Sports betting insider Michael Jenkins. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sportsbooks don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Also, be sure to listen to the Daily Tip podcast for more of Michael Jenkins' analysis. Just search the Daily Tip wherever you find your podcast. Michael, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me, man. How are you?
I am doing great. So I want to start off with this. What do you think is harder to do? Hitting multiple staggeringly long and powerful home runs or bunting the ball into a target area like it's shuffleboard?
Like, you know, it might be bunting a ball. I saw that video. I know what you're talking about. And that was, I watched that a couple times, just absolutely insane that you get points for hitting the bullseye. I mean, the obvious answer is, hey, I'll just, you know, I got to swing as hard as I can.
Sure.
And launch this ball into the sky. But the skill it takes to maneuver your baseball bat and to hit a bunt in the right way at the right angle is pretty underrated. So I would go with that.
I think maybe you're right. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, I checked out Michael's Twitter feed, which if you do not follow Michael on Twitter, which is at JinxDC, you should, because it's quite entertaining. But there is a video of, I guess I'm assuming it's the Korean All-Star.
I'll retweet this.
Korean baseball All-Star or whatever. And instead of having a home run contest, they have these two targets on the first and third baselines, and these guys are just trying to bunt it into a target area. And it's actually entertaining in a way. On top of that, I'll scroll down some more. And I don't know how old you are, but Michael, but I feel like I grew up in high school in grunge. And so girls wore baggy jeans and very oversized flannel shirts. And then when I got into college, they wore the same things that this gal on your Twitter feed was raving about today, whether it be tiny vests and lots of belts. And I laughed so hard at this morning. And so I don't know. I'm not sure if this was something you experienced in real time, but I hope you did, because, man, it was so funny.
Yeah, I'm an old guy. I'm 47, so I watched this go down, and it was, and you know, of course, at the time, you see fashion fads or even music fads, whatever they are,
of course.
And you look back, you're like, wow, this was a thing. And you're like, oh, it was a thing. And there's this girl, for your listeners out there, it's a TikTok that was posted to Twitter, and it's a two-part just rundown of what women in the early aughts, if you will, the early 2000s were wearing, and her breakdown is, I mean, I was crying.
I was
so right. And it was way out there, but of course at the time, you know, we looked around and said, this seems completely normal to me, it's ridiculous.
It's exactly right. She's young, and so it's like a girl in her 20s probably looking at older fashion being like, what on earth? I was playing it this morning, and my wife heard it and walked into the room and was like, oh yeah, I wore that.
Let me see if I can pull this up to play it. I'll see if I can pull it here in a second.
It is pure comedy.
Well, we're all around the same age, I think. So this is the,
I'm glad we're all experts.
The layering. The layering was prominent in this time. There was either a tank top under it or a tank top on top of it. Can't forget to mention tiny vests.
And it's Fergie.
There was a point where girls were like, I want to look hot, but I also want to look like a magician.
It kills me. It's so good.
I want to look like I do magic tricks.
So good.
Mesh
so
crop good. Top, bikini top over it. 76.
I love it. I love That's it. So stuff. You guys, be sure
Your
to check.
Twitter is very yeah. good.
She's Michael. Got a great yeah. Twitter. So I'm props yeah, already on that.
Yeah, well
props.
Done.
I mean, I'm assuming you're an expert at that, but on to other things yeah. you're an expert at. Conor McGregor had a little issue. And you know what? Honestly, with Floyd Mayweather, it came out that Floyd Mayweather clowned him on Instagram today. Yeah. And Floyd is an excellent fighter, but also not known as a great human. And so I don't know, where do you fall on this? Do you find it great that Floyd clowned another a-hole, or is it just like a-holes clowning a-holes and like, God, why is everybody a bad person?
Yeah, that's a good question. Conor in particular is just, it's sad to watch someone. It's like I said when we were talking about this the other morning during the show. I said, if you're going to say something like that, don't have your leg snapped at half on the mat.
That's exactly right.
Never say that anyway, but especially if you're going to say that, don't do it after you just got, just got beat. And so Conor is a guy who, he's sort of, I always say, guys, there's degrees to everything, right? You can be a smack talker, but you can talk, to a certain point, and then you can cross the line. And you know that even when Conor McGregor fans are saying, all right, that's enough. We've heard enough, Conor.
Yep.
You're losing fights. You're on the mat. You're embarrassing yourself. You're crossing the line. Nobody's enjoying this but you, and it even looks like Conor's not enjoying it. You see a guy who knows he's not at the top of his form anymore.
Right.
He's lost it a little bit, and then it's like it's his natural reaction. What can I do here? What would Conor at the top of his game do, except he exaggerates it because he needs something, and so he reaches into his old bag, and the trick he pulls out is some offensive and lame comment that Dana White didn't even like.
I mean, he is one of the best smack talkers and fight sellers in recent memory. He's great at it, but it does feel like his smack talk game has gone on a downward trajectory in the same way that his actual fighting career has. And and it's almost like as I get worse as a fighter, I have no other choice but to like push this line as a smack talker as far as I can. And it feels like he's just crossing it more than he was. More often, and it's almost and making him unlikable. He was always so likable.
He is committed to the cause. You're sitting on the mat trash talking with a busted ankle, or your foot is hanging. It's rather crazy.
It really is. It's nuts. So I'm with you. You're right. When his fans start turning on him, you've gone too far. I will say, for a long time, it feels like that betting has always been fighting has always been synonymous with betting. But now betting is everywhere. Do you personally have a favorite sport to either cover or to bet on? Like, is there one that are you a fight guy, or do you prefer betting on other sports?
My favorite sport is college football. I went to Texas, so I'm a Longhorn, so I love, how it is. If you're in the South at all, college basketball, college football are huge. So I'm a huge college football person, and I certainly bet year round, but that's when, with the season coming up, that's when I start reading different, different issues, whether it's feel steel or different sort of previews, whatever it is, and sort of get jacked up for the season. And then I'm that guy on Wednesday night, I'm watching Matchin, or I'm watching Tulane and Houston. I hate myself. Like, what am I doing? why am I watching this game? But I got a little action on it, and I need my college football fix. So I'm pretty excited about that, and that's the sport I probably bet on the most.
I love it. We're talking to Michael Jenkins from BetMGM tonight on 92.9 FM ESPN. Let me ask you this. Do you prefer to do like the prop bets or like bet on the whole shebang? Like, do you prefer to bet on like how many threes will Chris Middleton make tonight? Or do you want like who's going to win? Which guy are you?
I usually go with the full bet, which is who's going to win the game, which can drive me crazy because, it's very difficult to win. And I always tell people if you're a novice to betting, and there's no shame in that at all because it can be a little intimidating at first. There's all this terminology, these numbers, and you think, what the hell am I looking at here? I don't even know what this is. But after a while, once you become comfortable with it, I like staying engaged the entire time because especially if it's basketball, for example, and we have tonight's Game 4, you'll be engaged the entire time before you hit that number. And it is like that with prop bets too, if it's an individual bet. But the thing with that is that with a prop bet, you either have to bet over or under.
Sure.
You know, is Chris Middleton going to hit this many threes or not, for example? And betting the under is a killer because who wants to bet for first? It's hard to watch a basketball game and say, oh, I hope he misses all these shots. You want to see a guy make shots and hit your bet. So that's generally why I try to stay away from those bets.
That's a fair point. Speaking of Chris Middleton, do you actually think he will make any threes tonight? Because it has been a struggle in these NBA finals so far for him tonight, and he's kind of an important dude on this team.
Yeah, he's huge for this team, and people forget that Chris Middleton is an all-star, and he is, you know, when you look at the important players on that Bucks roster, obviously it's Giannis, but Chris Middleton is right there. And during the Hawks series in Game 6 when Giannis was injured with that hyperextended knee, it was Chris Middleton who went off in Atlanta and closed out that series. He was getting his shots and knocking them down. I think he probably rallies tonight. He should. He's not as good as Trae Young, but these shooters, Devin Booker is another guy who hasn't been shooting well. And eventually these guys are so good at scoring, you think they have to get back on the mat.
Sure.
And they have to start dropping their shots. So especially at home where the Bucks are a different team, I would think that Chris Middleton has a good night.
This is kind of a two-part question. Do you think, so sure. game four is tonight, and game three was actually the time, I mean, the Bucks played well. They finally played like the home team, and guys hit shots, and it's that old adage that role players play better at home, and the Suns couldn't throw it in the ocean. Do you think that is that's like an anomaly, or do you think the Bucks might have figured something out or a strategy that they can build on that to kind of duplicate that success? And then does that make it harder or easier to bet or set lines or bet on that when, you know, the Suns just play so awful? Does that make it easier or harder to bet on something like that?
It makes it a little harder, especially when you see guys not performing like they were. We're accustomed to seeing them performing. Like, I don't think Devin Booker is going to score 10 points again.
Right.
I think he's got to score more. He's too good not to, right? But does that affect whether or not the Suns can stay within 4.5 points? I think if you're the Suns, what happened in game three was Giannis is a massive human being. And he likes to go outside, and he has some range, but he's most effective when he charges at you or he gets in the paint and he makes you stop him because he's just so long and so physical. And he did that again and again and again. And the Suns couldn't stop him. And I was laughing this morning during my show because they asked Chris Paul, well, what are you going to do to stop Giannis in game four? He's like, well, same thing. You know, we'll just form a wall. See what you do. I thought, great strategy. Let's do it again and see if it works.
I mean, it's a fair point.
I'm sure they'll adjust, and he was being a little simple about it, but it was really fun to hear, like, I don't know, we'll make a wall.
It's still the thing is just make a wall and make it difficult and hope he misses free throws. And, I mean, he was kind of great the other night in game three on free throws, but he's still not good at free throws, which still is mind-blowing to me that you can be that effective as a player, and you could be almost unstoppable if you could take away fouling him as a method of guarding him. I don't know about that. Do you think that the Bucks have figured out, like, maybe if we attack this way, like attacking DeAndre Ayton, do you think that's a great strategy they've tried on? Because there's no Dario Saric to fill in, and now you got to play Frank Kaminsky if Ayton gets in trouble. Do you think the Bucks are going to try that exact same thing tonight?
I absolutely think they will. They are a different team at home, but I'm not saying they figured out the Suns, because I think most people would agree that the Suns are the better squad here. However, they're going to force the Suns to prove they can stop Giannis on the inside. And with Ayton, you know, you make a very good point there. They got him in foul trouble, and that was huge, because when he's not in foul trouble and he plays, he's a double-double machine.
Yes.
He was one rebound short, I think, of a double-double last time out, which we always keep track of because we have all these bets on his DeAndre Ayton going to get another double-double.
Yeah.
But he only played 24 minutes, and that's because he was in foul trouble. So you get the bonus if you're Milwaukee. If you get him in foul trouble, he's A, you get a big body out of the lane, but then B, you get an effective score off the court as well. So I see no reason why they wouldn't try and do that again.
I think I'm with you on that. So Team USA finally stopped sucking and beat the ever-living snot out of Argentina, which, you know, I don't know if you remember this. Brad and I talked about this a little bit ago, that way back in history, way back in time, if you can rack your brain, Greg Popovich said that teams in the Olympics in these countries don't get blown out. We don't blow out anybody. I don't know what you're looking at. We don't blow out anybody. And the very next game, Team USA blows out Argentina. Do you think yeah. but they did lose two games, outrageously lost two games.
Yeah.
Do you think that as far as moving forward in the Olympics, do you think they're still, like, should we still expect them to win gold? Or is this like, should we look at this and be like, this is maybe they don't have the good, you know, the all the chemistry and the right roster makeup this year.
Well, I think it's a couple of things. Is that you're right about it. They don't have the chemistry that they used, and that does take time. Chemistry is a real thing. These teams from other countries have been playing together for a while, and especially a lot of these NBA guys opted out. A lot of other players, just because of the COVID season and because of, you know, just how everything's sort of shortened, it puts a lot of stress on their bodies. But also, at the same time, we don't have our best players, and I'm not making excuses because Team USA should not lose these games that they lost to Nigeria and lost to Australia. However, they also don't have Giannis playing. They don't have LeBron playing. You have to think Trae Young or maybe Booker, somebody would be on that team. They have zero size at all. What about, you know, the guys that, well, Giannis would play for Greece, so I take that back. But you see what I'm saying? Where the best of the best are not on that team. They have some great players, but they have zero size, and not all the guys who should be playing should be on that roster or are on that roster. And I think that just changes sort of what our thought is, because the Dream Team spoiled us. And I know I'm being an old guy here, I'm going back, but that was our first real, at least for me, when you think about Olympic basketball, that was the best of the best of the best. So any team put together since then sort of measures up with that team, and there was just not a name left off that roster. So now, even though there's big names, even though there's some great players, it's not quite the same makeup when you look at Team USA over time.
That's very true. I mean, listen, if you look, I mean, the Dream Team, the original Dream Team, did have all those names, but the one thing they did have, they had big bodies, and they had what you would consider a great point guard in John Stockton. And so what this team does not have, it's great that they have shot makers, but it makes a difference when you have a guy who can run a team and is good at getting you open shots and helping you out. And when you have to do it all yourself and you have nobody who can just keep it under control and run the show, I think that's a problem in their roster makeup, which they don't have. We are talking to Michael Jenkins from BetMGM tonight, right here on the Jason and John Show. All right, I got one more for you, Michael. And this is full disclosure, I'm going to admit I have never gambled on sports. I am terrified of gambling.
You're missing out. You really are missing out.
I am already.
And how is that possible, by the way?
I know. I'm already a kind of a high-strung individual.
I see.
And I feel like adding to that by putting money on something that I have zero control over would just kick it into a place that I don't need to go to personally. Right. But maybe. Maybe. This is the second guy, you know, betting expert that I've talked to today this week on the show. And so maybe I'll come around.
Maybe you come around.
I might try. Listen, I'm all about trying new things.
Okay.
And so, Michael, if I was to, if I was like, all right, I've talked to Michael Jenkins. I think it's time I'm going to do it. I'm going to break my betting seal. What kind of thing is for a brand new sports bettor? What would you recommend? Like, this is the way you just kind of dip your toe in and get in a little bit. Does such a thing exist?
It does. I would say to make a basic money line bet. Now, or you can bet against the spread, but a money line bet is essentially you're just picking a winner.
Sure.
Now, of course, the caveat to that is you look at the numbers and you're like, well, what does this mean? So, and if you see -150 next to a team to win, what does that mean? It means you have to bet $150 to win $100. Now, you don't have to bet 150. That's just the ratio, right?
Oh, gotcha.
Because it's the favorite, you're going to have to bet more to win less. So conversely, if you see +150, it means that's the underdog.
Sure.
It's called plus money. That means I bet 100 to win 150. So you have to be aware of that. But I think you dip your toe in that when you say, let me pick something where the odds aren't too crazy. Let me pick a side here and not put a lot of money on it. And certainly don't go outside of your bankroll.
Right.
And then you're just rooting for the winner, you know. And you start with that. And I think if you sort of get a taste and say, I kind of like how this feels, you know, going back and forth. And then you'll say, I got to know more about this. It's like what I'm essentially doing over your airwaves is handing out drugs and saying,
that's exactly
hey,
right. And then I become a degenerate and my wife and I get in a fight and she leaves me. Can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Michael, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. We have enjoyed you. I hope you've enjoyed your time. We do appreciate you coming.
Thanks,
please,
Michael.
Come join us again.
Absolutely, I'll do that. Thank you guys for having me.
Love it. Coming up next hour, I should say, we have Zach Myers from the band Shinedown. Brad and I, around one, are going to talk about some Olympic-style stuff. You are listening to the Jason and John Show. I am J.R. Moore, filling in for the fellas, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!